It's a great privilege to be here again at Virginia Dale. And, you know, this Sunday's had an interesting development for me. I found out you needed a preacher down here for Sunday. And I thought, well, I've got some guys, so I asked them, and I kept drawing blanks. And I thought, well, and then Pastor Paul said, you know, I'm going to be gone. Could you preach at LVC? So I thought, well, that'll be fun too. So I was praying as to what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And He laid on my heart to speak on Ephesians chapter 3. Well, that's good for here. And it was good at LVC. And I want to talk about the mystery this morning in Ephesians 3. And I appreciate the songs we've sung this morning. That last one, that's a good song for our message today, Jesus Loves Me, this I know. And I appreciated the scripture reading, too. That was one of the texts. I may have to have you come up for the end of my message and have you read those last two verses of Ephesians 3. We'll have to see. But I want us to focus on what Paul called the mystery. And today, I'm convinced a lot of people don't understand what the mystery is. And they don't understand how wonderful and how good God has been to us. So let's look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to start out in verse 1. And we'll read these first six verses and talk about it for a little bit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, to refresh our mind, Paul, this is one of the prison epistles. He was in jail. He was in prison. And we'll talk a little more about that as we go. He said, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me, excuse me, by revelation, and that I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive of my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Let's just talk about that for a minute. Paul is in jail for preaching the gospel of Christ to Gentiles. Now, this is something that's rather, I think maybe Paul every once in a while in prison had to pinch himself to see, is this what God's really doing in my life? Now, you remember, Paul is called a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And in the book of Acts, we see them putting the clothes of Stephen at his feet after he had Stephen stoned to death. Paul was a Jew of the Jews, and he was a zealous one who persecuted the church. You hear the name of Paul, and everybody, it drew fear in the hearts of men to think Paul may come to your town. He had a lot of political clout. He had a lot of religious clout. Now, if you'll remember, for almost 2,000 years, the Jews considered themselves, and they were very special. They were, Abraham was called a god, and he was given an incredible promise of land and a heritage that would be like the sand of the sea. And after 400 years, 430 years of captivity, God raised up Moses and had Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea miraculously, and they're out in the wilderness, and they were a bunch of stiff-necked slaves whom God was going to make a holy nation out of. Now, it took the Lord about 40 years to get the point across to the Jewish people, you've got to trust God. During that time, they got the Ten Commandments, they got the priesthood, they got the tabernacle, and they were given the promise of a king and his kingdom. Well, we skip over to the Gospels, and we find out that the Jews were a devout religious club, but they missed the coming of Christ. John says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And what did they say? Crucify him. Kill him. And we know that Christ arose from the dead on the third day after he was publicly shamed and crucified. So as we think about that, Paul had been raised. He was Saul of Tarsus, and he had been raised to hate Gentiles. He had been raised to think that his culture and his nationality were the best. And it used to be under David and Solomon, but you know, Israel has been under the thumb of Gentile rule. The Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians, and the Greeks, and now, and during the time of Christ, they were under the Romans' thumb. And so Paul, this is an incredible statement. He said, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles. That was a big statement. And so here we are. And he looked down at the sixth verse there. This mystery. Now, mystery is in this context mean that it wasn't previously known, and now it's been revealed of God. Now, God did a number of things like that. You can read Revelation 13:8, and you can just be mesmerized by that verse. But what it says is Christ was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. One of the things that we have problems doing as men, we are reading Scripture and trying to understand an all-knowing God and understand that He has a plan and purpose for everything that He creates. And so Paul here is saying that this idea of Gentiles are going to be fellow heirs and members of the same body, this is foreign talk. Now remember what happened at the cross. The veil of the temple is ripped from top to bottom. That really ruined a lot of the worship for the Jewish people. And by 70 AD, no more temple to worship in. You know, it's been over 2,000 years and the Jews haven't had any worship services in their temple. Now, Paul is thinking as he's writing the book of Ephesians. You remember the first chapter? He says, before the foundation of the world, we're chosen, we're predestined, we were adopted, we've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. Now, you know, if you were a good Jew, you just brought your sacrifice to the priest and they took care of it in the temple. And now Christ has made the once and for all sacrifice for our sins. He has paid the once and for all price for every person who will put their faith in him. He's forgiven. And in that first chapter, it says we have all the riches of God in Christ Jesus. That's, by the way, that's a good reason to stay Christ-focused when you're reading the Bible. The second chapter, Paul writes, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and he talks about our conversion making us alive in Christ, and those very, very common verses and that we use today, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to tell you, men since Adam and Eve, all the way through Scripture, even up to today, it's always been faith on the part of man in the promises of God and grace on the part of God to man that brings about salvation. And then that 10th verse in the second chapter, Paul says, we're his workmanship. God is at work. Now, what's he trying to do? God wants every one of his children to be conformed to Jesus Christ. We're called to become like Christ. Now, I've said this often in my journey with the Lord, I am so glad that God didn't tell me when I got saved all I was going to have to shape up or change. Because I was very unlike Christ, and God's plan for me is to become Christ-like, like Christ. And so Paul's in jail. He's writing about the mystery. Now let's see what else he has to say here in verse 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which he gave me by the working of his power. I'm just going to summarize a couple of things here because I think it's so important. When someone comes to know Christ, it is a very powerful thing. What happens? The Holy Spirit, you remember in John 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. We must have a spiritual birth. And when we realize that my sins condemn me before God, and Christ died for all my sins, and Christ can restore my relationship with God, Friends, that's a miracle of God accomplished by the Holy Spirit when he regenerates us and we see things different, we think about things different, and we have peace with God. I remember when I got saved, God made me aware of my sin, and I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. Matter of fact, I thought I was feeling a little heat on the back of my neck. And when I put my faith in Christ, for the first time in my life, I knew Jesus Christ loved me and forgave me of my sins, and I had no longer fear of death. I have peace with God. And it began by God's Holy Spirit working in us. And notice one of the things that Paul is going to talk to us about is when we trust Christ, we are placed into the body of Christ. Now, get the context. Paul was raised in the temple. The temple veil has been rent. Very soon the temple is going to be destroyed. How is God going to work in the world after the cross? And he tells the believers in Jerusalem to wait. We call it the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, 50 days after. And the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And God births the church. Now, think of this. Our church here at Virginia Dale, of all the big things that are going on in Colorado, God looks at a group of his children who have band together to worship Christ, to learn his word, and to get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. Of all the things in this state, this is one of the most important things happening in Colorado. Because when people believe, they're placed into the body of Christ by his Holy Spirit that regenerates us. And the church becomes a living testimony. And these are local churches that Paul's talking about because Christ's body and the church has not been completed yet. It started on the day of Pentecost, and it's going to go, and the last person to get saved, and then we'll be raptured out of this world, and we're promised that we'll be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Now, let's read a little bit here in 7 and following and see what more Paul has to say about this mystery. And you remember the mystery is God is working in individual lives in an incredible way. And they're part of the church, the body of Christ. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me through the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of all saints, the grace was given unto me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that bringing to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden before the ages in God, created all things so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I think if you study this passage for a little while, you'll find out these rulers and authorities are angels. And he said the church shows the manifold wisdom of God. What is the church? The church is Christ's body on this earth. And today, I don't know if you've ever meditated on this and thought, you know, this week I was watched by angels all week. That is a good thing to remember. And whether it's to angels or men, the church, people who belong to Jesus Christ, show the manifold wisdom of God. And I was talking with a young lady over here a while ago about all her colored pencils. That's a good reminder of that word. Why? Because it's multifaceted. It's multifaceted in cover. And you can't put the church in a box. God is at work in your life as a believer, in my life as a believer, and he is going to show his great wisdom and his great glory. When we got saved, I'm still learning all that happened that day. All the things that God does. He gives you a spiritual gift to function within the body. He works in incredible ways in the lives of believers. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. In Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, listen as I read these two verses. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we've got to become more like Christ. And from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, every person who's been gifted by God is equipped, and when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it's building itself up in love. One of the things that I've been amazed about at Laramie Valley Chapel, I don't really know much of what is going on. And I go to all the staff meetings. I go to every. But why? Because when believers take it upon themselves to be used of God, whether it's the cup of cold water, whether it's sharing the gospel with someone, or people acting on behalf of Christ to see him glorified, and then we meet once a week and we get together and worship, and we praise God. While we're here, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail. You know, one of the things that we have very popular all over this country, I call it Lone Ranger Christianity. Do you know what Lone Ranger Christianity is? I don't need the church. I know what I believe. I know Christ. But I do things my way. Recently, I was in a Bible study, and God gave me a verse to answer that attitude. Proverbs chapter 18, 1 and 2. Listen closely as I read it. Whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You know, why is this sacred? You remember? When we got saved, the Holy Spirit regenerates us, and then he places us into the body of Christ. Do you guys know what that means? Think of this just a minute. When we are trusted Christ, that means we're in God's forever family. I looked around the church this morning, and it filled my heart. I look around the church right now, and it fills my heart. As believers, we are going to spend forever with Christ and forever with each other. One of the things that I like to tell people who come to me for marriage counseling, I like to remind them, now you remember, he's God's property. He belongs to God. She's God's property. She belongs to God. And it does matter how you treat God's property. What is Paul doing? He's reminding us that Jews and Gentiles are one body. This wasn't previously known, understood. Now it is. And it matters how we love each other. And in this last section, he really starts to point this out. Look at verse 14. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. He's praying, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. You know, it's very important how we look at people. Do you see them through the eyes of the Lord? How do you see them? Do you know there's not one person here that God didn't create and God didn't give you life and God doesn't have a plan and purpose for your life? That's so important. One of the things that really touched my heart when I was pastoring, people would come in and sometimes they had more problems than I was capable of hearing. But whoever came in, I had to remember first, they belong to God. Now, they may be unbelievers, but he made them and they just don't understand who put them together. But every believer is God made. He created all the families of the earth. And, you know, when we pray for people, God help them to see you, to get back to being what you want them to be. Because God didn't make people for destruction. He made them for good in his glory. Now, look at this last paragraph, two paragraphs, because he says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant to you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And we don't have time tonight to get into all the Holy Spirit's ministry, but he produces love, joy, goodness, meekness. And the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He gives us strength. He gives us peace. And he does powerful things in our lives that we don't even realize. Now, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Many of you know from reading the book of Romans, when God saved us, it says that he poured out his love into our hearts. The love of God, the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the supernatural ability to love him and to love our brother and even to love our enemy. Now notice, we're rooted and grounded in love. And verse 16 or 18 says, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is God wanting to do in our lives? He wants us to grow in incredible ways in our love for him, our love for one another. And you know, right now, this is hard for us to do. But we see some of the foolish decisions that politicians make. You know, I'm being challenged to love them. And that's not what I want to do. I'd like to club them. But I need to love them. What is it they need? They need a life changing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. And what is Paul doing here? He said, I know about a mystery that wasn't previously known. What's the mystery? How God is going to reveal himself to men today. We don't have the temple. We don't have the priesthood. They rejected Christ. Now, lest we think God's through with the Jews, he's not. He's going to save a remnant of them during the tribulation. And they're going to go into the millennium. And they'll be the key nation of all the nations of the world that goes into the millennium. And Christ will be their king, and he'll rule and reign. And if you read the last two chapters of the Bible, the New Jerusalem, you remember what the new gate, all the gates are named after? The 12 tribes. In the tribulation, God chooses 12,000 from each of the tribes to become Jewish evangelists during the tribulation. So God's not finished with Israel, but Paul said, we have a mystery here today, how Christ is working in the world, how he's changing the lives of people, how people are coming to faith in him. Now, look at the last two verses that we've already had so well read. That's one of the things I really like about this church. I like your scripture readers. That's a good thing. Now look at verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Friends, I hope you never get bored with your Christian life. Paul says we have a power in us that does abundantly above all we could ask or think within us. And look at verse 21. To him be glory, where? In the church. In the church at Ephesus. In the church at Virginia Dale. In the church at Laramie. In Christ Jesus, throughout all generations. And how long does this deal last? Forever and ever. Amen. We need to have a devout love and commitment to every member of our church. If you're going to spend forever with them, this is a good time to get started. And you know, it's so important that we realize what we're doing here is a very important and a very sacred task. We are learning about our Savior, and we're devoting our life to our Savior, and we're living with the hope and the expectation, like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you see, Paul's in prison reflecting. I'm sure he asked God to forgive sometimes when he was reflecting on what he used to think about Gentiles. Now they're in Christ, loved and forgiven, and we're part of his body. And that's a forever proposition. Isn't that exciting? I am so thankful for Christ. I think I may have mentioned this sometime in the past when I preach here. When I got saved, I went and told this lady, and she looked me in the eyes and she says, "Well, you'll get over it. You'll get over it." You know, if I could look at her today, I would say, you know, 50 plus years, and I'm not over it yet. It's only gotten worse. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, aren't you? And this church is precious because you're part of Christ's body, and we're going to spend eternity together. Isn't that exciting? Our hope is great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ. And we realize our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. And we pray that we might glorify and honor Jesus Christ today. And may our church family here, may we love each other. And may we love you. And Lord, we pray you will continue to be glorified here at Virginia Dale, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Peace I have revealed. join me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.